And good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. I am your host, Josh Engel. Today is Friday, January 31st, and we are very, very pleased to be streaming this morning's interview with Carolyn Gray, co-founder and chief curator at the Carver High Museum and Archives of West Georgia, as we discuss some upcoming events in celebration of the history of George Washington Carver High School. We have a lot of upcoming events to talk about.
Yes,
so if you have any questions or comments for our guest, Carolyn Gray, feel free to hop in the live stream and you can put in a comment on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. I'd be happy to read those out to Ms. Carolyn. Of course, we're also live streaming on this station's website, and you can also check out the podcast, which will be uploaded later. So, good morning, Ms. Carolyn. How are you?
I'm great.
All right. So, if you could, for listeners at home, tell folks a bit about yourself.
I was born and raised here in Carroll County, 1947, the good old days. I was born and raised in Temple. My family were sharecroppers from the time I was born until I left home in 1965 when I graduated from Carver High. I went out west to find freedom because, you know, this was 1965 and things hadn't started yet, gelling yet on the civil rights front. So I presume things were going to continue being the way they had always been, and I wasn't sticking around for that.
Absolutely.
So I went away. 32 years later, I came back to take care of my mother. And when I came back, I discovered that hardly anybody remembered Carver High, especially, you know, the people, classmates, of course, remembered it, but the younger generations, no, hardly anybody knew about Carver High, and it was a great influence in the lives of all of the young Black people of my age because it was the only school we could attend.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colin.
So the idea that our, whoops.
There we go. Got some fans. They're calling in. They may have some questions for you.
That's probably my sister. Oh, no, it's my alarm. So,
oh, there
okay,
we go.
I'm here so you can stop.
There we go.
Okay. But anyway, it bothered me that that our history, that people didn't remember it. And also when I would run into the former classmates, they would say two things. First, they would say, "Hey, Miss Carver High," which I never thought I'd hear. This was 32 years later. I never thought I'd hear those words again in my life. That the next thing they would say was, they threw away all of our stuff. And I'm thinking, what stuff? What are you talking about? And they said, when they integrated the schools, when they took over the schools, and they're talking about the school boards, when they took over the schools, they took over all of the Black elementary schools, and they took all of our stuff from all of those years, and they threw it in the trash.
What? That's crazy.
I mean,
That's wild.
All of the photographs, the trophies.
The history, the legacy.
Everything was gone. I mean, the schools had names that went back to emancipation. These were schools that were built by the first, you know, the freed slaves. And they began as churches because that was the first thing that the freed slaves did, was the first thing they built was churches. And these were not like churches with steeples. These were a neat place in the woods with trees. You know, it was a brush arbor is what they called it. And it was a place that the community could go meet. There were lots of these churches, and these churches evolved into schools because at that point, you know, they were emancipated former slaves, could not read and write because it had been against the law to teach slaves to read and write. So this was a whole bunch of free but illiterate people. So the everybody wanted to learn. And so these churches evolved into schools where there's a saying of, let me get some water. Each one, teach one. Anybody that could read and write became a teacher.
Wow.
They taught what they knew. So eventually, we became more literate, but those church schools became the black schools because there was no funding for black schools in those days. Even up until after World War II, there was no funding for black schools. So the black community was creating these schools. And so over time, there was 80-something schools in the 20s. Over time, these schools consolidated, getting more kids into one place. So by the time the Brown decision came along in 1954-55, black kids were going to school in shacks in the woods. I mean, I spent my first grade, well, first through sixth grade, I attended school in a World War II military barrack, recycled. It had been used to house German prisoners of war.
Wow, that's...
Whoa. So when the war was over, they had all of these barracks, and they sent out word that if you wanted to get these buildings, you could come, you know, the communities could come and get it. So I don't know if white communities did this, but I know that a lot of the black communities around here went to, I'm trying to remember the location, it was up beyond... up beyond Rome, way up there. But the black gentlemen in those communities got together and performed magic. They went and got those buildings and broke them down, hauled them back here, and used them as schools, which was a step up from what we had before was in the churches, was really literally one-room schools. They would have... The classes would be scattered around in the pews, and you know, the fifth grade would be in this pew, and the fourth grade would be in that pew. And so, when they got the barracks, they had rooms, which was like a big step up. So eventually, by the time the Brown decision was signed, the state of Georgia and southern states decided they wanted no part of that, of integrating the schools. Which, you know, the Brown decision made segregation illegal in public accommodations, which included schools. But the southern states said, no, we're going to stick with segregation. And the former Supreme Court decision was separate but equal, so they said, we're going to stick with separate but equal. But in order to even appear to be equal, they had to build schools for the black kids. Because we, like I said, we're going to school in World War II barracks.
You got to back it up. I mean, we're, going to school where they kept German prisoners of war. You know, like, we can do better than this.
Well, nobody was thinking about that, but they were wanting to put a happy face on their separate but equal. And so they built Carver High in 1954. And then a few years later, they built four elementary schools. There was Providence in Temple, Hudson in Bowdoin, Glenton Heinzman in Villarica, and a school called Springview, which took in Clem Rootville, Whitesburg. All of those kids were now in Springview, which is now Central Elementary. So... Roll along, fast forward to 1965, the federal courts came back and demanded that the southern states, including Georgia, integrate their schools or close them. There was no two ways about it. So that was the year I graduated from high school, 65, that summer, spring. I went to California. I was just looking for a new life. But all hell had broke loose here because they now had the mandate to integrate the schools. And the black community was kind of in a stir because, you know, that was truly uncharted territory. And there was not going to be any assistance for them to accommodate them to getting into. Because the rule, the new law was that the black kids who were now high school kids, they started with the high school, the black kids who were attending Carver High could opt to go to one of the formerly all-white schools in their community. Carver High was a consolidated high school. It had kids from the whole county. It was the school that all black kids in Carroll County attended, not just Carrollton, but the whole county of black kids. So when the order came that they could register for their local, formerly all-white school that had never had a black person in there.
Can't imagine how scary that must have been for the families to go, you know, start that process.
Well, I have a younger sister who decided she did not want to go to Carver High that summer. She was in the eighth grade, but she was rising to the ninth grade, I think. And she decided that she was not going to go to the school in the cemetery, because that's where Carver High was built, overlooking the city cemetery.
Yeah.
The cemetery was there when they built the school. So Janice Smith, shout out, said, I am not going back to the graveyard school. I'm gonna go to Temple High. So I was shocked to hear that my parents okayed this, because my parents, you know, there was 13 kids, and they had been very cautious in raising us to keep us safe, because this was the Jim Crow era.
Yeah.
But they said okay. So then she told my brother Philip, who was, you know, a year or so older than her, that mom and dad said she could go to Temple High. And he said, well, you can't go by yourself. I'll go with you. And wow. Then the next thing he said was, we're going to need more people. So they spent the summer going around Temple and getting recruiting the kids to go to Temple High with them. And so when school opened in September, there was 11 of them, and they integrated Temple High.
Wow. It's incredible.
So when I came back and I found that people didn't know this history, didn't know about Carver High, didn't know about Providence and Gladden Heisman and Hudson and all of that, it kind of distressed me. And then, you know, since I had left at the beginning of integration, I wasn't even here when all that took place. All of the ways it was before was still fresh in my mind. Those memories had not been replaced by any changes. So I thought, well, we just can't let our history go. So make a long story even shorter. We organized a Carver High 50th anniversary gathering the 50th anniversary was 2005. So 2004, we organized a group of people, alumni, and we planned for a year for this 50th anniversary. And so the whole concept of the Carver High Museum came out of the 50th anniversary and the idea of trying to hold on to our history.
Time is 8:44. We're going to go and take our first commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to jump back into our conversation with co-founder and chief curator of the Carver High Museum and Archives of West Georgia, Carolyn Gray, as we discuss the recent Carver High proclamation, as well as some upcoming events, including the Carver High exhibit and the Carver Rights reception, which is coming up, both coming up in early February. So Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
And we're back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engle. Time is 8:45, and today is Friday, January 31st. Very pleased to have Carolyn Gray, co-founder and chief curator at the Carver High Museum and Archives of West Georgia, in the studio with us today, talking a bit about the history of Carver High and, of course, some upcoming events that you're not going to want to miss, especially if you or a family member are a Carverite, having attended the school. But just a reminder, this morning's episode is being live streamed on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions, comments, or kudos for our guests, feel free to throw those in the chat. You can also check out the podcast of this episode, which will be uploaded to this station's website, as well as graticcommunications.com. So, Carolyn, February is going to be a big month, a Black History Month. It kicks off with a opening day Carver High exhibit on February 1st, followed by a very important Carroll County Council, Carrollton City Council meeting. Why don't we just go through them all? How about we you take us through some of these upcoming events?
Well, for the last, I don't know, even before COVID, the city of Villarica, the library, had invited me to exhibit this traveling exhibit that I had on Carver High called the Carver High Experience. And so ever since then, 5 years or so, every February I set up the Carver High exhibit that really tells the story of public education, the history of public education for African Americans in Carroll County. It centers around Carver High, but it also goes back to those one-room church schools and kind of preserves all of the history there in one spot. So it's been my pleasure to search the history, and I used a lot of information that was provided by Carver High alumni during that whole process of getting together for the 50th anniversary. We collected a lot of information ongoing from that point on from our classmates. So in 2012 or so is when I started the traveling exhibit. But ever since then, I've been doing it every February. So this year, we're doing something extra. I got a small grant through the city of Villarica Library and to expand and enhance the exhibit. So I've got some new pieces that people will be very pleased with, very colorful. So the exhibit opens tomorrow, and it's there for the whole month of February. And during that cycle, we have some over 200 students coming from Carrollton City Schools and from Villarica High School, from different places. Senior groups are coming, and they come on different days and different hours. The tours are about an hour long, in which time I walked them through the history of Carver High and the Black school experience, and take any questions they have. So it opens tomorrow, and then on Monday we're receiving a proclamation from the city of Carrollton on behalf of the 70th year anniversary of Carver High. And then on Tuesday, we're receiving a proclamation from the Carroll County Board of Commissioners for the same purpose. And then next Saturday, we're having what I'm calling the kickoff reception for the Carverites, for the alumni, but, you know, it's open to the public. And we're going to have a brief program, light refreshments, and just meet and greet. But our classmates or Carver High people will get a chance to see the new additions to the exhibit. And like I said, for the whole month, we're going to be there, and we'll have students coming and going. I do all of the tours myself because I want the young people to know what the history is. And when I give the tours, they're age appropriate. We have kids coming from the third grade to seniors. So I try to talk to them at the level that I presume that their knowledge is of the whole of the past. I don't want to throw in anything that they haven't heard of before. But by the time we get to the older students, they've studied, they've heard about it, they've read about it. So we can have a more of a conversation. But they're free to ask questions, and I answer them as authentically as I can with, you know, within range. But it's a great experience. When we came up with the concept of a Carver High Museum, our plan was to have a brick and build, well, to have a brick and mortar museum at the old Carver High building. And it was promised, one of the auditorium cafeteria was promised to us, but that fell through. So in 2012, around that time, I started doing this traveling exhibit, and it just kind of caught on. And having the support of the Villarica Public Library, and Rachel Lynn, is just the manager, is just everything. She's so supportive. I've been able to have establish a base so that people know every year in February the Carver High exhibit is going to be there. There's going to be somebody there to explain all of this to them. And we're free to mix and mingle and talk about what happened in those days.
It's a tradition now. Everybody's got to be sure to take the family out to the exhibit when it comes through.
Yeah.
Because they can always guarantee it's going to be coming around.
Yes, and they know that it's going to be there February, and they'll be able to ask the questions they've always wondered about. And then the young kids, you know, they have questions, but their questions are more contemporary. It's like, oh, talking about, you know, this was back in the day before, you know, black kids and white kids went to school together. And then the question came, well, what about mixed kids? It always come up. And I said, well, the black kids were mixed, but we didn't have that category then. It was you were either black or white. That was it.
And I'm sure the school system didn't have a cutoff. It's as if, you know, mixed at all, you are considered black and you're... And
well, that's in the days of segregation, you know, you've seen those signs that said whites, the water fountains that said whites only, blacks only. Well, in the South, in those days, the population was generally either black or white. There was not a Hispanic population here to speak of. The Native Americans were here, but they were not in that mix. They had their own thing, but you were either classified, even the census back in those days, Hispanics didn't show up in the census until the 70s.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Probably the mid-70s, I imagine.
Yeah, so in those days, so those are the kind of questions that I get from the kids. It's like something that is a reference to where they are today.
Sure, seeing it through the lens, their contemporary lens.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to... do you have an estimate about how, because this Carverite's reception is super cool. So again, just for folks who might be tuning in, this is the Carver High Experience. It's returning to the Villarica Public Library February 1st through the 28th during the regular library hours. And there is going to be it opens on the 1st. It opens tomorrow. But there is a special Carverite's reception. And that's going to be on February 8th from 10 to 1. Do you have an estimate of how many Carverites are still with us?
Not yet, but I know our numbers are dwindling because I get the obituaries feeds, mm-hmm. and every few months there's a few being announced. Our numbers are dwindling. I mean, I turned 77 in December. I was in the class of 65. The last graduating class was 68, although the school didn't close until 69. But so we're all into the 70s and beyond. I don't know of more than a couple of members of the first class, the graduating class of 1955. But my brother in Texas, Fort Worth, hey, Harold, is a...
Shout out to Harold.
is a member of the class of 55. Miss Gladys North was a member of the class of 65, I mean, of 55. So, and I'm sure there are others, but I've lost track. But I'm going to start the project of trying to go back to the classes, because when we did the 50th anniversary, we reformed all of the classes in a way, and we found the class officers and a group of people that would represent each class, and their task was to find their classmates. And so most of them who are still with us, but might have been passed on to another classmate, they have continued to keep track of them. So I think we'll go back to that. I know I'm going to post, as one of the exhibits, I'm going to post the list of all of the 14 classes, all the names of all of the members, because even though the exhibit has pictures of, well, the exhibit for the Carver High portion of it are really the yearbook pictures from each class. So it has all of the people who graduated. But that's not all the people who started. Like, Carver High started with the eighth grade. You know, the kids in the county, when they graduated from seventh grade, everybody went to Carver High at eighth grade. So those classes would be huge. We had about 300 kids. When we graduated, we had about 30 kids. So over the years, the numbers would just dwindle. So I have that list, I think, of most of the original kids.
So we're almost out of time, but if you could, please leave listeners with where they can learn more about this organization.
Well, I'm working on a website, but I'm going to be publishing a QR code where you can get to the website that has all of the information. So hopefully we'll have it ready when the exhibit opens on tomorrow. But if not, keep looking on Facebook, because we have a page there, and I will put it there as soon as I get it done.
Excellent. Check out the Carver High Museum and Archives of West Georgia on Facebook. And don't forget the Carver High Experience, returning to the Villa Rica Public Library, February 1st through the 28th. And you can check it out in honor of George Washington Carver High's 70th anniversary. Again, thank you so much, Ms. Carolyn.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And to thank you to everyone tuning in at home. We'll see you next time.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.